Amen. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to God's house. Amen. Praise God. It's good to be with you this morning. Good to worship the Lord. Amen. How many needed to be here? Like, just needed to get here. Yes, me too. Me too. And it blessed my heart to see some individuals here who I know were sick, and that was Pastor Brian and his family, but pulled through and gave, you know, that illness and virus a black eye. And then to see Pastor Mona this morning just blessed my heart. Missed you so much. And I still miss my boy, my brother, Pastor Alex. I miss Pastor Cisco, who was in the hospital. We have a few. Saul is in the hospital, battling for his life. Dave Boteo, his son Paulie, they're in the hospital. My sister Kathy is in the hospital battling for her life. But I just got a text from my other sister, saying she's texting us already. So it means she's doing good. And so I'm so grateful for that. Amen. So, I mean, in moments, folks, on Friday, she was moments away from being intubated. And I sent 911 out, text to PK, said, please get the team praying. And that was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was just beside myself. And so were my brother, my sister, Irene. And then a couple hours later, we get a text from her daughter. And so the doctor said something shifted, and she's doing better. So praise God. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. And that's the amazing thing about this time, is the family of God coming together, praying for one another, loving one another, sharing meals with each other. How amazing is that? And so I'm really proud of my church. And I know Michelle led us in prayer earlier, but I'm going to ask you to stand and pray. Now we're going to pray specifically for those who are hospitalized and those who aren't feeling well. One thing we do know, I'm very grateful. PK mentioned Pastor Mona and Mike and others who are posting things, encouraging people and, you know, how to fight the virus. But I also appreciate Pastor Carrie, who's been doing our front lines for us, you know, and I appreciate everything she's doing. And so many people. And, you know, we're going to get a grip on this, folks. Don't be dismayed. We're going to get a grip on this. I believe that. And we're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep fighting through and pushing through. Whether you are vaxxed or non-vaxxed or masked or non-maxed, remember, we don't have a position in this church. You want to get the vaccine, you get it. You don't want to get it, that's your business. No one's going to push you or shame you to do anything in this church. But we are against mandatory vaccines. This church, we'll fight tyranny every step of the way. And that's what that is, to tell our country, for our president to say, to belittle those who, anyway, he's promising to make it mandatory. We'll fight that tooth and nail. I mean, because we're a free country. And you can be pro-vax, pro-vaccine, but be anti-tyranny. You can definitely, and I would hope that you figure out what that means. You can be for the vaccine if you want to be, but you can still be anti-mandatory vaccine, and that's what we are. We're going to fight that. But for those that aren't well today, who are battling, we're going to pray for them. And Pastor Alex, we're going to see you real soon. Pastor Cisco, we're going to see you real soon. I'm grateful for those who are home right now, and that's Pastor Brisa's home. And Pastor Mona's here. Pastor Brian and his family are here. So those that are recovering, we're very grateful that God is recovering all those who are recovering. And amen. We're going to pray for also, we just got word, Pastor Angie's mom is battling too. So we're going to pray for her. So help us pray. We're going to intercede for all those of our loved ones who are battling right now. Father, in your precious name, we come before you as a house, a family, one family, trusting you, believing in you, believing that you are the God of all, and that there is nothing too big for you. I pray, God, for those who are hospitalized. I thank you, God, that Pastor Cisco's doing better. But we pray, God, that you would completely heal and restore him. David, Bodeo, Norma, thank you for your healing of Norma. And we pray for Polly. We pray for Saul, my God, in the name of Jesus right now, God, that you would deliver him. Deliver him, that you would breathe life into his lungs. We know that there are machines breathing for them, my God. But in the name of Jesus, we pray for Zoe life, for your life, my God, to breathe into their lungs and healing to take place. Healing to take place. We pray for Angie's mom, Father God. Angie Vera's mom, Lord Jesus, that you would minister to her and heal her body, Lord God. Strengthen Angie, Father, I pray. We worship you, Father God, and we praise you, Lord. We know that you are in control. And we thank you for healing. Thank you, God, for healing, God. Thank you for delivering, Lord. We give you honor, and we give you glory, and we give you praise, my God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many say amen with me? How many declare amen? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Amen. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I want to say, first of all, I do want to say this, folks, that we celebrated, you celebrated a Pastor's Day for us, like you do every year, Cal and I, and for 35 years next year. And but the following week when we should have been saying thank you, that's the day we had to share the news about Joshy, and it was a different kind of a service. But, and a lot has happened since then. So anyway, the reason I bring that up is I want to say thank you. Yeah, for the cards, the letters, the offerings, for everything. Everything that everybody did for us on our Pastor's Day. I'm so grateful. And I know I speak for Cal when we say that. And so it didn't go unnoticed. And I'm sorry that things just got a little out of hand. But we definitely are very grateful for everyone and for everyone's blessings to us. So thank you so much. Amen. Praise God. When we began to preach this message a couple of weeks or months ago, Pastor Kerry and I were hearing from God, and we really felt the Lord saying to us, you know, I see you. It's good to be seen. I see you. But to be seen by God is amazing. He was saying to us, I see what you're going through. I see your pain. I see your disappointments. I see the injustices in your life. You see, God was telling us, I see you. Now, as we prepared those messages and spoke those messages and in our time together, Pastor Kerry and I also began to hear God say it to us a little differently, and that is, do you see him? Do you see him? He sees you. Do you see him? Do you see God? Do you know God? You might know church. Doesn't mean you know God. Did you hear me? You might know a Christian upbringing. Doesn't mean you know God. You might know this place. Doesn't mean you have a relationship with God. Stay with me now. For those who are watching us online, stay with us. It won't be too long. You know, I'm not long-winded. I got long-winded preachers on my staff. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't looking at anybody. But I ain't one of them. I'm messing, chill. I see those fire eyes, those fire blue eyes looking at me like. But I like teasing Pastor Kerry. I like messing with her. So, so stay with me. Stay with me right now. It won't be too long, but I do want you to grab this word because I feel it's in my heart and my soul. Right, Pastor Kerry? Really feel this right now. Do you see God? Do you see him? Do you know him? That's that statement on that wall that's been there for some 30-some-odd years already. And how much more profound can we get than that? I mean, we thought about changing it, put something new up, but that's still the heart and soul of this church. Do you know him? Not us. I'm not asking if you know us. Do you know him? Because us can't save you. Us can't give you eternity. Us are not the maker of heaven and earth. Do you know him? Do you know God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him today? Do you know him? Those who are watching us online, do you know him? You might think you know him, and it's amazing to me that I'm not trying to judge anyone, but I'm telling you, people that are flippant about God, oh, I know God. Me and God are like this. We're like this. Well, what do you know about him? What is it that you know about him? I want to tell you some things that can help you know God, help you know him. And it's a good thing to want to know him. It doesn't matter whether you've been saved for a year or 35 years. You never stop with that desire to know him. That never goes away. You never come to that place where like, ah, I get it now. I understand now. That's not what I have found out. That's not what the Apostle Paul said. Because the Apostle Paul, one of the smartest men in the Bible, he wrote 13 books of the Bible, very highly educated man. He wrote in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him. That's where that came from. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Wow. Wow. Somebody with that kind of experience and someone with that kind of education in God's word and who studied, and yet his mantra, his voice would be, that I would know God. You see, when you say that and you say, I want to know him, it keeps you pursuing him. It keeps him keeps you pursuing God. Some people say they know God, but they know him in a casual way. They know him by coming to church, but that's not, you're missing it. They know him casually. They high-five God. Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up? And that's the depth of your relationship with God. High-fiving God. Casual relationship. What's your relationship like right now with God? Do you know him? Do you know God? Because you can't know God the way you say you do and keep living the way you're living. Let me tell you three things about God that might help you. When you see God, do you see that he's omnipotent? What does that mean? All powerful. All powerful. Do you know anybody that's ever lived this earth, on the face of the earth, that said, yes, now, and all the worlds came into order? Earth was created. Heavens were created. Do you know anybody? That's God. All powerful, omnipotent. When you see God, do you see that he's all knowing? He's omniscient. He knows all. That's God. He's all knowing. Man is limited. God is not limited. When you see God, do you know that he's omnipresent? In other words, he's everywhere. We are limited by space and time. God is not limited by space and time. Do you know him? He's powerful. Wow. He's a very, very powerful God. Very powerful God. Do you know him? Do you see him? He sees you. Do you see God? If you do, well, that's a good thing. And if you do, and help you know him and help you see him, you know that he's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. Absolutely. Okay, now, do you also know that he's good? He's a good God. When things are going bad, when things are difficult, that's when you need to really focus on his goodness. He's a good God. Even in a time of trouble, he's good. He doesn't just do good. He's the very essence of good. He is good. That's who God is. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. But he's also good in every sense of that word. In every sense of that word. The Bible says in Nahum chapter 1 verse 7, the Lord is good. Come on, everybody say that. The Lord is good. You got to get that deep in your soul. Because sometimes life can get you to question that. Sometimes life can get you to question, man, is God really here? Does God hear me? Does God see me? Is God good? Sometimes life can be very difficult. But it's in those moments that you got to grasp onto what you know. That's why we want to know Him. Because your circumstances will want to dictate other things to you. Life will want to dictate other knowledge to you. Other circumstances to you. But the Bible says the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he who knows those things takes refuge in Him. Come on, stay with me for a minute, church. It says the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Wow, He's telling us there will be trouble ahead. Not if. It doesn't say if type of trouble. He says in the time of trouble. We know that this life that we are in is difficult at times. That we're going to face difficult times. We'll even face difficult people. We're going to face trouble. That's why sometimes you hear the Father say, "What's troubling your heart? Daughter, what's troubling your heart? What's troubling you? What's troubling you?" Sometimes our hearts get very, very troubled. Trouble is going to happen. Trouble is going to happen. It's in that troubled sometime that you hold on to what you know, and that even in your trouble, God is good. Come on, say that with me. God is good. And you got to look for that goodness. You got to look for it sometimes. Sometimes it's all around you, and you're good, and you're happy, and your life is good. But when life is troublesome, that's when you got to look for God's goodness. That's when you got to search for it. And sometimes the searching is difficult, but searching is a good thing. He says, if you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, it's going to be open to you. So we need to look for God. Let me challenge my family, my church. If you think that you're in troubled times, start looking for God. And you don't look, listen, I'm just going to give you a little clue. I don't look for God by something writing in the sky. I don't look for God by a shooting star. That's not how you can look for God however you want, and nature can speak to you. I believe good nature speaks to us. Absolutely, I do. I believe God speaks to us through everything. I'm not saying God is in everything, but I say God speaks to us. But that's not how I, that's just me though. That's not how I look for Him. I look for Him by somebody giving me a word of encouragement. I want to hear word. I want to hear somebody say, "Hey, Pastor Steve, you got this. We're covering you. It's going to be okay." I want to hear somebody encourage. You see, that's how I hear God, and that's how I look for God. I look for God in you. I look for God in you, in your words, in your encouragement. You are powerful. When you begin to share the goodness of God, you can change somebody's life. When you begin to speak those words that God is good, you can change somebody. Somebody can be right at the edge, ready to jump, but you say something good. You say God's good, and all of a sudden they step back and say, "Thank you. Thank you for sharing that." Because sometimes you can get a little lost. You can get a little lost. You can get a little lost in the circumstance of life. A stronghold in the day of trouble. That's who God is. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Now, let me tell you also something here about God's goodness. Because He's good, He's merciful. You know what mercy is? Mercy is withheld judgment. Good. Good. Grace is undeserving favor. I don't deserve grace. I don't deserve God's favor, but He gives it to me anyway. Mercy is, I deserve judgment, but He holds it back. God is good. He's merciful. He's merciful. God's grace is all over us, and God's mercy is all over us. The Bible says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I know that's hard in a time of trouble. That's hard. It's hard to say, great is your faithfulness. But in time of trouble is when you got to say it. Come on, church, listen to me. It's in the time of trouble that you got to say these things. I see our precious Irene here. She lost her husband, Felix, man I love, come to love for so many years at this church. At his service on Friday, he requested a song to be sung by Kendra, who used to be a worship leader here. But she said, he wanted the song sung, Say the Name. Say the Name of Jesus. Powerful. And you know what? It's still powerful today. When you're going through a difficult time, say the name. When you're going through a scary time, say the name. When it seems like trouble's all around you, say the name. When it seems like you're on sinking sand, say the name. When it seems like the storms are overtaking you, say the name. Say the name that is above every name. Say the name that even the hell and demons tremble at. The name is Jesus. Say the name. His name is Jesus. There's no other name by which man can be saved than the name of Jesus. No other name. Say the name. Say the name of Jesus. In the time of trouble, know that God is a merciful, merciful God. In the time of difficulty, He's faithful. His mercy is everlasting. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Come on, somebody say that. Great. Come on, say it again. Great is your faithfulness. He's so good. He's so faithful. He's so faithful. You look for God in a time of trouble. You look for Him when things aren't going well. That's when you look for Him. That's when you look for God in a time of trouble. There's a story in the New Testament I want to read to you. It's about an act of mercy. It's what it really is. It's completely an act of mercy. It's found in the book of John, chapter 8. This is an amazing story to me. An amazing story. Let me just read a little bit, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. This is verse 2 of chapter 8. Now in the morning he came again into the temple, and the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes, the religious, and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And they set her in his midst. Do you know what that means? You know what that means? It means that the religious, who thought they're so pious and mighty, went. Now, there's a reason. The Bible tells us they're trying to stump Jesus here, try to catch him in a failure. So they said, let's go find an adulterous woman and use her. They went and found her, and it says they set her in his midst. You know what that means? They propped her up right in front of him. They propped her up right in front of him. And they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. In the very act. Because there's youngsters here, I'm going to bypass that part there. But verse 5 says, Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say? Now, in this movie scene, can you just see this? The religious, the pious, the ones that want to crucify Jesus, the ones that want to make him stump. You know why they hated him so much? Because he said he was God. He walked on water. He turned the water to wine. He gave peace to the hurting. He gave sight to the blind. But they hated him because they didn't like that he said he was God. He said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. He and I are one. They hated that. So the religious went and found this woman, propped her up. Now, can you imagine what this woman must have been going through? She knows what she is. She knows who she is. And they didn't just get her and said, "Hey, can you follow us? You know, let's go take a walk. Let's go take a walk." That's not how they did that. They probably grabbed her by the arm, dragged her over, and she's screaming, probably knowing, "Well, where are you taking me? What are you going to do?" She knows the law that she could be stoned to death. She knows the law. All of Judah knew the law. The penalty for adultery, to be stoned to death. Anybody ever been hit by a rock? If you grew up anywhere in the neighborhood, you got hit by a rock. Let's just be honest. It doesn't feel good. You ever been hit by a slingshot rock? Yep, all of that. All of that. To be stoned to death? I can't even imagine that. So they got her, they're dragging her over. Now, somewhere along the line, she realized, well, she's not being brought before the Pharisees, who are these pious, mean, religious people who think they're the ones that walk on water, and they didn't. She hears, "They're taking me before him, the one that heals people. They're taking me before the one who blesses people, the teacher." And I imagine, because of the life she was living, she probably was, "Oh my, don't take me before him. Don't take me in front of him. Anybody but him." And they drag her over to him and they prop her up right there. There she is, Jesus. A whore. That's who she is. Filthy. What are you going to do? The law says she must be stoned. What are you going to do? And imagine they're probably looking at each other. "We got him now, Mr. Grace, Mr. Mercy. We got him now. What are you going to do?" God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. And they said, testing him. And they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear them. You know, there's just sometimes you got to block people out, right? You just got to block out their words. Did you hear that? Verse 7 says, so when they continued asking him, in other words, "What are you going to do, Jesus? We brought before you this woman. What are you going to do? We have stones in our hands ready to stone her, ready to kill her. Just say the word, and we'll all be in accordance with the law of Moses." But Jesus came to write a new law. He came to write a new law of grace and a new law of mercy. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, "He who is out is without sin, you go ahead and throw the first stone." Go ahead. There she is. Go ahead. But make sure that you're without sin first before you throw it. "He who was without sin among you, throw the first stone." Again, he stooped down and wrote in the ground. Then those who heard it and being convicted by their conscience went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in his midst. In other words, standing in front of him. Wow. You see, these religious knew that they couldn't throw a stone because of what he said to them. "He who was without sin, go ahead and cast it. Go ahead and throw it." And one by one, they began to leave and walk away. One by one, they began to walk away. Because none of them were perfect. None of them were perfect. Just like every single person sitting in this church right here, right now. Just like this man standing in front of you on this pulpit, behind this platform. None of us are perfect. None of us can pick up a stone and throw it. None of us. I don't care how long you've been saved or how righteous you think you are or how holy you think you are. The next time you get ready to judge somebody, you make sure that you're able to walk on water. Make sure that you can turn the water into wine before you judge somebody. You see, Jesus extended to her grace and he extended to her mercy. They wanted to pounce on her and bring judgment. He withheld it. He's merciful. He's merciful. He withheld punishment from her. She fully expected it. She knew what was coming to her. And when Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And it's crazy, but that moment, we just read that, "Where are your accusers?" But to her, it was her connection with him. Because him saying to her, "Where are your accusers?" eliminated the power of judgment and stoning and death. And it was her moment of connection with him. She saw him in his eyes. She knew him at that moment. She knew him at that moment when he said, "Woman, where's your accusers?" And she stood up and looked at him in the eye. And she connected. She knew him at that point. She knew he was good. She knew he was merciful. She knew he was lovely. And she connected with him right at that moment. "Where are your accusers?" Her life was changed forever. Do you know him? Do you know God is good? Do you know God is merciful? Do you know that he withheld punishment from me, from you, even though we might deserve it? Jesus said to him, "Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord. There's nobody here." Look what he says. And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Change your life now. Stop doing what you're doing now. It's that simple. It's that simple. He showed her grace and love and mercy. And then he says to her, "And by the way, quit doing what you're doing. Move on." It's that simple. Move on. Stop living the way you're living. Stop living the way you're living. When I was in Bible college, which seems years ago, and it was years ago, my mentor, Pastor Ron Harden, he said, "Look, Steve, if you and you know, our church was so young at the time, we were back on Yosemite Avenue, at that time we started traveling from high school to high school and having church services at East Union and Sierra and different places like that. But back then is when I was in Bible college." And he said, "You know, Steve, if your church is going to be known for something, because, you know, we want to be known for holiness, absolutely. That's the church I grew up in, holy, holy, holy. That's a church I grew up in. I grew up in that church. And I want to be known as a church that preaches holiness. But I don't care who that is, who preaches what on the internet or preaches what and behind the pulpit or on TV. To attain holiness, you have to walk through the door of grace and mercy. That's the only way you'll ever attain holiness, as you walk through the great door of grace and mercy. So my mentor, Pastor Ron, in our formative years of this church, he says, I hope if you're known of something, if they say that you're too much of something, let it be that you love too much. And if you're going to be an heir of anything, come on now, focus. I'm going to end with this. If you're going to be an heir of anything, err on the side of grace and mercy. Err on the side of grace and mercy. Not on the side of judgment. Not on the side of judgment. Err on the side of grace and mercy. Let that be on you right now. Let that be on you right now. Let that be all over you, in your heart, in your spirit, right now. I've seen a lot now in my day. I really have. I've had parents walk in, their teenagers. This is what they're doing. I've had wives, husbands walk in their wives. This is what she's doing. Say what you got to say, Bishop. Do your thing. Come on. All right, let me do my thing. God loves you. God forgives you. God is right next to you. God has never left you. He's merciful. But you gotta say, and you gotta do that, and you gotta preach holiness, and you gotta do this and that. God loves you. God is with you. He's never left you. Go and sin no more. Stop doing what you're doing. Nobody's perfect here. Nobody. We are all in this together. The next time you hear one of those TV evangelists or internet preachers preaching about this and that and how holy you have to be and how you can't do this if you want to make it to heaven, invite them to a walking party. A walking party. And we're going to do that. We're going to have a walking party. We're going to go to a lake, maybe Woodward Lake, and we're going to have a walk on water party. And let's invite all those holy preachers, those holy Christians who judge everybody, who condemn everybody. Let's go invite them. And let's say, all right, there's the dock and there's the lake. Go ahead and walk on the water. They're going to sink like stones because there's only one righteous. Romans chapter 10, chapter 3, verse 10 says only one righteous, just one. His name was Jesus. His name was Jesus. And so instead of opening our mouths and cursing or opening our mouths and judging, how about we open our mouths and extend love? How about we open our mouths and extend mercy, just like Jesus did? Just like Jesus did. Well, there's a limit. Really? What is it? What's the limit? Where is... I've been preaching in this church now for over 34 years. I still haven't figured out where that limit is. Where you love too much. You give too much grace. You give too much mercy. I haven't figured it out yet. Maybe you have. Maybe you're much more spiritual than I am. I don't know, but I haven't figured it out yet. So in the process, I want to love more. In the process, I want to give more grace. In the process, I want to give more mercy because that's what he does. That's what he does. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You're so good. You're so faithful. Thank you for being good. Thank you for goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. don't know what you're going through right now or how you're living. All I know is this, that God loves you. God loves you. I don't know what you're doing or what has happened in your life or maybe a way you've been living. All I know is that God loves you. He really does. He loves you. He loves you. He doesn't pick up a stone to judge you and throw at you, but he loves you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, every head bowed, I want you right now just to receive the love of God. Receive the love of God. Let mercy be all over you right now. Let grace be all over you right now and in you, so that you can extend grace and you can extend mercy and you can extend love to that person that's even hard to love. Love them. To that person who's even maybe doesn't deserve grace, give them grace. To that person that doesn't deserve your mercy, give them mercy, because that's what Jesus has done for you and what he's done for me. So I pray blessings on you, church. I pray blessings upon you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I pray blessings upon you right now in Jesus' name. I pray healing upon your heart. Somebody right now is being healed of wounds of judgment, wounds of failure. I really feel that, wounds of failure. It's like every time you try, it feels like you fail. God is bringing healing for that right now. Injustices, God is bringing healing upon those who feel like life has been unjust to you and you faced injustices growing up. Healing for you right now. Healing for you right now. Receive that word. Receive that word in the name of Jesus. Healing. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Receive that. Receive that. And with every eye closed, if you'd say, that was for me, Pastor, just raise your hand. Yes, amen. All over this place. All over this place. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, just say the name. Say the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just say Jesus. Jesus. He's the strength in a time of trouble. Say the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We praise you. We worship you. We give you honor and glory. Come on, just say, I receive you, God, as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. I love you, church. I love being your pastor. I hurt when you hurt. This is not, I'm just going to be straight with you. It has not been an easy few weeks for me, because so many of our people have been suffering. And I hurt when they hurt, when you hurt. You may be seated. I may be seated for a second here. We're going to pick up our offering, our missions offering. We support missionaries all over the world. And we also support CWC Vida in Mexico, Tepic, Mexico. Pastor Armando is still plugging away out there doing his thing. Would you pass forward, ushers? We send him $800 a month. Now, $800 a month pays his rent, buys his groceries, and also pays the rent of his church. And we send him $800 every month. And then we send $50 this missionary, $100 that missionary, and $25 this guy. And on and on and on. We just send money out every month. And we've asked you guys to be part of that by contributing $25 a month towards our missionaries. So, Father, in your precious name, I pray blessings upon all of our missionaries, upon all of our loved ones who are ministering the gospel. Pastor Armando, bless him and encourage him, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can pass forward, ushers. If you want a text to give, just text to give the amount and put missions next to it. Put the amount, space, and then missions next to it. Amen. What I was saying about this time being difficult is that so many people have been sick and suffering. That weighs heavy on my heart, but I thank God that he's pulling everybody through. Amen. I thank God he's pulling everybody through, and we're going to keep fighting this thing and believing God for the victory. Amen. And we're going to live our lives according to victory, right? Pastor Carrie one day preached a message. I don't know if you remember that, but she said, we battle from the place of victory. So we're in the war, and we battle the war, but knowing what the outcome is, we win. Come on, church, we win. We win. Doesn't matter what's happened in the world, we win. We battle from a place of victory. We war from a place of victory. We win. You are winners and not losers. Come on. Are you hearing that? You're winners and not losers. You win. Praise God. Stand to your feet this morning, church. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you and give you all the glory and all the honor. Thank you for being with us, God. Thank you for loving us. We worship you. We praise you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The side doors are open. Feel free to use the side doors. Ushers, I need both doors open, please. If you're a first-time visitor, we can meet you right over at the visitor table. To my left is by the exit sign there. First-time visitors.